Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
And the good news is here we are on the 7th day of October, and every Wednesday for the last few weeks, Indiana University's dashboard has come out with their coronavirus numbers, and I've lost count, and that's a good thing, because this is either the third week or fourth week in a row that we've seen a really positive decrease in the COVID numbers. Chuck, tell us all about them.
It is the fourth week in a row, so for now a solid month, we have had decreases in our positivity rates on all of our campuses, and for the listeners here, most importantly, the IU Bloomington campus. So that, as you may remember, we had a big spike at the first of the semester with our Greek houses. Well, the positivity rate among the Greek houses is 1.6%. That was 2.1% last week. So that's gone significantly down. If you remember, we reported a 25% positivity rate when we started doing these several weeks ago among the Greek houses alone. On the residence halls, it's 1.2%. That was 1.5% last week. Greek-affiliated students who don't live in the houses, 3.4%. That's down a full percentage point from the week before. And other off-campus students, it's not even a percent. It's 0.5%. That was 0.9% last week. So the numbers are good. And it's the important thing that we want to stress is it's really because people have been doing the right thing. They've been wearing masks. If you walk around on the Bloomington campus, that is not really an issue about having students, faculty, or staff wear masks. They've been doing it. And I can say from experience of teaching in person that everybody has gotten into the pattern of you clean down your work area, you clean down your desk, you make things ready for the next person. You make sure that it's clean when you start. So it's just a way of life. We've all kind of gotten into the rhythm of it. And again, the caveat that we say all the time is we don't want to get overconfident. We don't want to let up. We want to keep moving forward. And that's what we're going to do.
Dr. Chuck Carney is our guest this afternoon. He is the Director of Media Relations for Indiana University. And Chuck, I don't know if we spoke last week. I can't remember if it was after we got off the air together that we learned some other Greek houses had some problems. Have we had any problems since? I would think that would be big news. I wouldn't have missed that, but it seems like the message is getting across finally.
Yeah, it was only one Greek house that was that really had an issue. There were three Greek organizations, but two of them did not have houses.
Gotcha.
So they were put on a cease and desist, and that just simply means that they can't do their functions as a fraternity or sorority. One was a sorority. That was an order that was handed down from the university because there were some violations of the health protocols. And that speaks to the seriousness of which we take these measures. So if somebody is not going to follow these health protocols, there will be ramifications that can be, in this case, an organization, or it can be the individual students if they are found to be doing that. So we are going to continue to be vigilant about that and continue to let people know that it's not something that can continue. And if we hope to have any in-person element, that's the way it's got to be.
Now, do we have a fall break or anything coming up, or we wiped all that off the calendar, right? We're just going to go straight on till Thanksgiving break.
Yep. November 20th is when everything finishes up for in-person until February 8th. So what that will do is folks will head home over the break between November 20th and February 8th, which is the start of in-person for the spring semester. And so this semester will end online. Next semester will begin online. And then you may remember there's a winter break winter session that is offered online only in between, which is really kind of an added bonus that students can make up some hours even in that short period of time when there's not a spring or fall semester going on. So all that was designed, and I know that a lot of universities and colleges across the country have been announcing suddenly that they're skipping their fall break. Well, we made that call in the summer and announced it then. And so we are not having a fall break, not having a spring break either. We're just simply going to have one big break in the middle of in-person so that people will leave town and don't come back until they're ready to go for the spring semester. And we lessen the opportunity for somebody to go somewhere, pick up the virus, bring it back. And that's what we're doing to ensure public safety.
Or go somewhere who does not have as many rules being followed and getting, yeah, I know exactly what you are. You are getting at. Dr. Chuck Carney is our buddy. Three big things at IU. The Keith's newscast right before you came on the air, which I didn't have the correct button pushed, he was describing the process for all who were listening that everybody on campus is going to need a flu shot come this fall, and you are making things available at the Simon Scott Assembly Hall. And all the details about if you live on campus, if you live off campus, et cetera, it's all right there. I think the most common misconception would be COVID-19 and the flu they're so alike. They're just alike. No, they're not. They're two different viruses, and you need to treat them in two different ways. The university here is being very proactive for these last few weeks before everybody goes home.
Yeah, and a couple of things about that. And one of the reasons we're requiring it is, one, not to overwhelm the healthcare system with a lot of flu cases if that were to happen. So you can imagine if we had just a ton of flu cases out of the Indiana University community, that could take up some precious hospital space. At the same time, we might be having a surge in COVID cases. So that's a problem. The other part is that you can have symptoms that are flu symptoms that appear to be COVID symptoms. And also, you can get both at the same time. So you could have the flu and COVID, which, of course, would make COVID much, much worse. And the symptoms probably would not feel much better either. So it's something that it just makes a lot of sense. And we're offering those flu shots absolutely free to students, whether or not they have insurance or not. And our faculty and staff will be covered by their insurance plans. So it should not cost anybody anything. But the main thing is they're going to have to prove that they got it. So you can go get it at CVS or Target, but you do have to have it.
And if you go and get it somewhere else, you have to go through all of the red tape and paperwork to prove that you have it. So if you've done that, great. But the easiest way to do it, Chuck, would just be to go to Simon Scott Assembly Hall.
It is, as far as submitting it, because you don't have to submit anything, because at that point, the university has the paperwork. It's all right there. And I'm doing mine at Target because they have you get a $5 gift card.
Well, you get Starbucks when you're there too, right? Pick up some Halloween candy?
Yeah, something like that.
So that's the good news. When does everybody need to have this completed by? I wasn't listening completely to trying to get you on the air as well. Go ahead.
Yeah, by December 1st, everybody has to have this done. And that's really designed. Of course, that's a period when we're not going to have classes on campus. But the idea is to get that done before the real flu season kicks in, and so that we can avoid a heavy flu season here locally, possibly.
Now, let me ask you a dumber question, because I think I already know the answer, but just looking ahead into February when people return to campus, it's going to be similar to the way they returned to campus in August, correct? We're going to stop at the tent and drive through and get our quick test. Who knows what kind of test we'll have by February, but that's going to be the same project because we don't want folks coming back with it. We'll stop them at the gates and see what happens.
Yeah, there will be arrival testing for students coming back. And so we don't know exactly what it's going to look like. It's an excellent chance that it won't be outside in tents, because February in Bloomington doesn't tend to be balmy. But we are going to have some mechanism for that, where it should be a quick come through this and get your test and get your result and you're ready to go.
Excellent. So that shouldn't surprise anybody moving forward. And who knows what kind of testing we'll have by then? Who knows? Maybe we'll have some kind of vaccine. Can I dare to dream that? Would that be the case then? If just like the flu shot here, if that was physically available in February, that's got to be something that you all would look at as well.
Well, we'll certainly be looking at getting
everything.
The vaccine.
Yeah, everything that goes through there. So that's not surprising. Now, do that by December 1st. Get that all taken care of. They are two different viruses that you need to protect yourself against. We have been talking for a couple of weeks now, Chuck, on the campus river, the east parking garage, the biology building. We're moving along on that, I hope.
We are. And so for the Bloomington campus, the provost has set up a committee of faculty and staff and students to make recommendations about the name spaces on the campus. And so this will take place on all of our campuses. President McRobbie, you may remember, directed all of the campuses to review named buildings and structures. And so the provost has set that up for Bloomington. Committee is co-chaired by Sarah Evans Barker, and if that name sounds familiar, she is a senior district judge with the U.S. District Court of the Southern District of Indiana. She is an IU alum. And John Nieto Phillips, who's IU Bloomington's Vice Provost for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, will be on that committee as well. And so this, of course, is to consider replacing the David Starr Jordan name and putting a new name on there. There are a lot of names that have been put forward, as you can imagine, including some for people who have a significance for their work in diversity and other efforts here on campus. So those will all be considered by this committee as the new names for these particular structures and the river.
Dr. Chuck Carney is our guest. He checks in every Wednesday. We get all the news. You can always find it at news.iu.edu and search the IU Bloomington campus page. Heck, that's where I find all my stuff. I saw Michael Reschke. He had an article in today's HT, Chuck. The percentage of Indiana students taking exclusively in-person classes this year is about the same as the percentage taking exclusively online last year. What does it mean? Well, I don't think anybody thinks any differently that online classes aren't going away.
Yeah, that figure is not surprising given the constraints that we had for this fall. And bear in mind that we had only 30% of classroom space available for use for our classes. And that's because we had to set things up so that we could have physical distancing, so that we could have the setup that wouldn't have students right on top of each other. And if you've ever been in some of our classrooms, and when they're full, they are full. So it's something that, given that we really had to do in the spring, we hope to have some more in-person classes. But again, we want to stick to our knitting that has worked well right now and make sure that we don't open ourselves up unnecessarily to things that would potentially spread the virus. And I would add to that, that to this point, we have absolutely no evidence that the virus has spread in a classroom setting.
That's
and that
good.
Is due to the things that we've done.
And that's positive reinforcement that what you have done is working. And that can only be done by teachers and students, everybody buying into the system, buying into the sanitary procedures. And then you can see it works. But as we have seen in multiple places, we don't want to go from 0 to 60 and say, well, we probably should have stopped at 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 before we got there. So something about eating the elephant one bite at a time. Bring your fork and knife in your picnic basket for that one. Now, speaking of students, good stuff. Tutoring is going on. They're tutoring, your students are, K through 12 students. That's a great way to get help the youth and a great way to reinforce subject matter.
Yeah, so this is something that the IU School of Education in Bloomington has done. So teacher candidates and volunteers from the School of Education staff have been offering free virtual tutoring for K-12 students all across the state. They're going to be doing that up until Thanksgiving. And so this is something that they've set up 1-hour Zoom sessions available twice a week for any K-12 student who signed up for the service. Now, that said, it's been so popular, even without a lot of publicity until just now, that it is full for the fall. So it's not available for anybody else through the fall, but they do have the goal of setting up a virtual tutoring sessions next semester. So that will be something that you can look for on the School of Education website. And there is a form. If you go to our newsroom site, news.iu.edu, you can find the story that says future teachers get a head start by tutoring K-12 students. And that'll take you down in the story. There is a link to the form where you can sign up and you can look for those spring sessions if that's something you're interested in. And certainly these days, I know that parents can use all the help they can get and students can use all the help they can get in these virtual learning times. I'm speaking as somebody who has two students here at home, one a university student and one seventh grader doing all of their classes here at home. And so those things do help.
Doing all their classes at home for now. The MCCSE had big news yesterday. Everybody will be back starting on October 12th. So we'll see how long that is. How much do those tutoring sessions cost, Chuck?
They are absolutely 100% free.
And that's why they are 100% sold out as well. People taking advantage of a great, great offer. And again, you can do so by going to news.iu.edu. Go to the IU Bloomington page. Future teachers get a head start by tutoring K-12 students. What's on your agenda for classroom time today?
Well, you know, I wish I knew.
You should just make them listen to this segment, and then they should grade you on how you do on this segment, and then everybody wins. You sit back and relax. They do all the work, and away we go.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I on Wednesday nights, I did Monday's class here from the same virtual setting. I do it from home here from the desk. So I have a vague idea of what I'm going to do, which is what you always want to hear your teacher say right before class. We'll talk about things.
We'll talk. I like it. We'll figure it all out when we get to that part. That's excellent. What happened to what I needed to? I don't know. I had something for you, and then it's completely disappeared from my screen. That is not the first or last time that will happen. So we have everything covered. Have a fantastic 84-degree afternoon, and we hope you can get out and enjoy at some point. If not, just come back and join us next week. I'll even bring Kellums back. We'll hear about his trip to Gettysburg. Did you know there were ghosts at Gettysburg? There was a show about that?
I did not know that.
Neither did I. I'm learning all this stuff about Gettysburg. I just thought there was an address and a battle there. There seems to be
right.
More.
What is the address of Gettysburg?
The Gettysburg address. That is a question that answers itself that Kellums will provide for us next Wednesday. Thanks, my friend. We appreciate it. And again, head to news.iu.edu for all of your information. Dr. Chuck Carney joining us on a Wednesday. Have a great class, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Chuck Carney, the doctor, is in every Wednesday here on WGCL.